Because the technologies are simply inputs, right, into the process. What citizens care about and businesses care about and leaders care about is outcomes. What are the actual outcomes that are leading to it?
Today on the Daily Scoop podcast from the Scoop News Group, the top drivers in government digital transformation. Bill Eggers discusses Deloitte's report, The Top Trends for Government in 2024. It's Tuesday, March 26th. 2024. Welcome to the Daily Scoop podcast, where you'll hear the latest news and trends facing government leaders. I'm the host of the Daily Scoop podcast, Billy Mitchell. Here's what's happening now. The General Services Administration announced Monday a new class of Presidential Innovation Fellows, and that in 2024, for the first time, the program will feature two cadres, with one exclusively focused on AI coming later this year. The first PIF cohort of 21 fellows will work with a broader technology focus under their respective assignments at 14 agencies with high-impact priorities. Meanwhile, the second group of fellows to be announced this summer will focus solely on artificial intelligence, according to the GSA, which houses the program under its Technology Transformation Services branch. Specifically, the AI-focused PIFs coming later in 2024 will aim to deliver on the AI executive order that President Joe Biden issued last year, which named the PIF program as one of the existing federal technology pipelines for recruiting AI talent into the government. So far, in light of the October AI executive order, the Biden administration has continued working towards recruiting and retaining an AI talent workforce to keep up with the competition and challenges posed by the technology. Recently, the administration has established funds for the technology's research and development talent recruitment alongside the other gaps for AI talent within the federal government. In other news, the Department of Veterans Affairs' Office of Inspector General is out with a new report connecting the death of a veteran who was a patient at a VA hospital in Ohio to an error with the scheduling function of the department's new modernized electronic health record system. That veteran, a patient of the VA Central Ohio Healthcare System in Columbus, had a history of behavioral health and substance abuse issues and didn't receive adequate outreach from the hospital system to reschedule and missed appointment due to a system error in the functioning of the EHR, the report details. Just over 40 days later, the patient died in an accidental death caused by acute cardiac arrhythmia due to acute toxic effect of inhalant. The Inspector General also attributes the case to other relevant incidents of mismanagement by the VA staff, such as the failure to effectively evaluate and address the patient's treatment needs and a lack of caring communications as required by the department's caring communication program. The rollout of the VA's EHR modernization program has experienced a litany of issues since its launch in 2020, which led the department in April of 2023 to pause the implementation of the new system at additional VA hospitals until it is deemed highly functioning and those issues at first adopter locations like the hospital in Columbus are resolved. That review is still ongoing. You can read more about these stories and much more at fedscoop.com. Since 2019, Deloitte's Center for Government Insights has issued annual reports on the top trends transforming government. Tuesday, Deloitte issued its latest report for 2024, in which it presents the eight trends propelling the 10X government of the future. Bill Eggers is the executive director of Deloitte's Center for Government Insights and the author of the Top Trends in Government 2024 report. He joins me now to discuss the top takeaways from this year's exploration into what's driving transformation in government, and what governments and agencies who are lagging behind can stand to learn from the model use cases showcased in the report. Bill, welcome to the Daily Scoop podcast. Thanks so much for joining me.
It's great to be with you today, Billy, on the launch of our new Government Trends 2024 report.
And that's exactly what we want to talk about. Deloitte Center for Government Insights this morning released that 2024 report you just referenced. And I wanted to say, first off, congrats on that. I know you guys release those every year, and it's exciting to see how things have evolved since that first one in 2019. So I wanted to start by asking you, you know, there's eight trends that you present in the report that are propelling the 10X government of the future. So let's start there with a high-level synopsis from you, the lead author of the report, and give me your key takeaways, some of those eight trends and what sort of things you really dive into the report?
Well, absolutely, Billy, and maybe some context. What we argue in this report is that around the globe, we're seeing really signs of a governmental renaissance, a moment with the potential for really sweeping improvements in service delivery and operations. And it's a transformation that we're seeing that a few years ago, some of this may have seemed impossible. And it's happening at the same time where trust in governments worldwide is fairly low. And surveys have shown that governments are often perceived by citizens as not moving fast enough and too bureaucratic and risk averse. Yet, amidst that, our global scan of government trends really offers reasons for profound hope. We identified more than 200 cases around the world that offer proof of this radical transformation, where government agencies are achieving quantum leaps and delivering 10x improvements across a whole range of areas, from operational efficiency to customer experience to mission outcomes. So that is why we call this the 10x government and as the defining trend of 2024. And this is not just in theory. These are real world examples all over the world showing instances of dramatic improvements in government.
So how did you arrive at the eight you did, at those eight top level trends?
Well, our process is about a 9 to 10 month process, looking all over the world at for examples of innovation in government for different trends. We've been looking at this for 5 years and we see different trends cropping up and so on. And using today's technology that we have, we take hundreds and hundreds of reports and so on, and we actually put them into a Gen AI sandbox, and where we help to analyze a lot of these trends and patterns within them. And we also are looking at this all the time. Our center publishes upwards of 60 to 90 studies a year on government innovation and technology and management, I think more than just about anyone else in the world right now. And out of that very lengthy, detailed process, that's where emerge these trends.
Tell me more. I mean, that's really interesting. You put it into a Gen AI sandbox. Tell me more about, I would imagine that's maybe not something you've done with past reports, given the nascency of Gen AI at this point. Tell me more about that process.
Sure. Well, Billy, we've actually been using AI in our research process for years now.
Oh, interesting.
Maybe 6 or 7 years ago, we did a big report, which we used natural language processing to analyze 25 years of the Government Accountability Office reports on management to understand what are some of the management trends in government. Now, that was over 40,000 reports, millions of pages. That would have taken a year of someone to analyze it. It probably would have fallen asleep by that time. So we've been using different models like that for years in our research and analytics process. And what Gen AI has done is allowed this to happen a little bit easier. But every time we do a research project now, Billy, we actually will take hundreds of documents, dozens and so on, and we will put those into a Gen AI sandbox, and we will have a chatbot that can interrogate all of those documents. It's the way all research, I think, is moving right now. And in a year from now, the average government employee will likely have access to those kinds of tools. And those are the sort of tools that are actually leading to these sort of 10x improvements.
That's really cool. I imagine we'll probably talk a little bit more about AI later in the conversation. But before we get there, you know, it struck me in looking through and reading this report to some degree that it isn't just a typical compilation of trending technologies that your typical government tech trends type report might showcase, but it rather focuses on what I would call, and this is my words, so correct me if I'm wrong, but more on improved outcomes in process and operations, things that aren't about the technology, but really about bringing all these different things together and the resulting sort of movement within government. So why did you decide to take that approach, or why, you know, historically, I would imagine the past reports have been similar, but why are you focusing more on those qualities of a change in government rather than just the specific technology?
Because the technologies are simply inputs, right, into the process. What citizens care about and businesses care about and leaders care about is outcomes. What are the actual outcomes that are leading to it? And one of the things we've been writing about for years and was a key theme of this report is convergence. That it's actually the convergence of technology with process changes, with human-centered design, with a variety of different tools. And we have in the report dozens of different 10X tools from process to policy to people to technology and partnerships. And it's actually that convergence of the tools, bringing those together, such as public-private partnerships with supportive legislative and policy frameworks, with human-centered design, with behavioral nudges. It's that combination of tools which is leading to these kinds of outcomes. Technology in itself can lead to very big improvements, but it's that combination with these other tools that is really the key to achieving these sort of transformational quantum outcomes.
Yeah. And so obviously, like you just described, you can't just expect tech in a vacuum to bring results that you're highlighting in this report. But that said, are there key technologies that you saw reoccur as you did some of the research and went about talking to people about use cases that were the biggest drivers in some of the report or some of the trends in the report?
Absolutely. A whole suite of technologies. Where we saw very important around the data side. You obviously had cloud, data analytics, data infrastructure. Automation is a big driver, and that's everything from AI, Gen AI, to robotic process automation and machine learning, and also physical and digital, that combination that we're seeing today, the merging of the physical and digital between augmented reality, virtual reality, and digital twins, which showed up a lot in the report this year, and the use of those digital twins for simulations and to understand then the physical world and by manipulating the digital world in terms of different scenarios. So those were a set of kind of the key technologies that we saw that were really important in this. And I would say AI with at the top of it, but robotic process automation, if you look at some of these things over time, that's where a lot of governments really started with.
And, you know, kind of diving back into the eight trends, I think there's, you know, a bit of commonality to all of them. And I'd ask you, what is in your own take sort of the connective tissue, if you will, that's kind of connecting all those things together? Is there a sort of core element that, you know, when you look at each of the trends, they all have this similar thing that drives them and brings them together?
Absolutely. I would look at the common theme here about realizing that the kinds of outcomes that citizens are actually looking for and removing pain points that they have right now in the journey of accessing government services or removing silos within government agencies and government and the private sector to achieve these outcomes. One of the trends that I co-authored as part of this was looking at government at warp speed. And this is something citizens really care about. And it's really important, obviously, also for the business community and in realizing our climate action objectives and really trying to, how do we really get the benefits of radically increased operational speed without reducing quality and safety and so on? And what we've seen is dozens of examples of that where governments have reimagined processes to deliver services with far less friction without sacrificing service delivery. And oftentimes that does require a re-architecting or re-engineering of how that work actually gets done. And I think, you know, when you talk to citizens about spending hours and hours on a student aid form or a variety of just hours in going through 50 pages for a benefit application, this is the sort of thing that really, really matters for people. And the kinds of advancements we're seeing in speed, I think, are really, really positive And we will continue to see that across a whole variety of different government services.
Yeah, that's well put and very interesting. And it brings to mind, you know, you said you've been doing these for roughly 5 years. 2019 was the first report. So is that sort of the same as it was in 2019, or have things changed in a large way since, you know, you started doing these reports year over year in the sense that you've seen some different, purposes and I guess overall focuses in terms of what the government is doing to, innovate?
Well, if you look at some of the, what we do is we capture what are some of the trends we've seen over the years, and we've looked at it from a variety of buckets. Data-fueled government, where probably upwards of 8 or 9 different trends could fit into that bucket. Digital government transformation would be, I think, the biggest bucket and something that I've been writing about for over 25 years. Now, also trustworthy and equitable government and equity and trust being another one. Resilience being so important in today's world, and human-centered experience. And that is a key trend here that we've seen a big uptick in. And how do we create those human-centered experience through things like life events-based service delivery? Which OMB has a large project on at the federal level, and many other countries are doing. Or another area that we focused on here was around government all-in-one super apps, where from Ukraine to Estonia to Singapore to Brazil and other countries, where now you can get so many different services all in one app, all with a single identity, a login. And what those do is just dramatically reduce the friction involved in government and bring government much closer to best practices in the private sector.
So Bill, as we wrap up here, you know, reading through the report, there's a lot of use cases. You just described a number of them. The all-in-one is one that jumped out to me, interestingly, through reading. But, you know, you scatter these use cases throughout the report of these world leaders in digital government. But, you know, for those who might be reading who are maybe not leaders in the digital government space, who maybe aspire to take a page or two out of the playbooks of those leaders, what is the one or two things you would point them to as common keys to success so they could try to replicate, you know, what a Ukraine or a Brazil or somebody in one of these foreign governments or global governments are doing so that they could take a step forward in a similar direction?
Number one, a laser-like focus on improving the constituent experience, using all these technologies that are available now, human-centered design, doing journey mapping, and so on, and really taking it to a whole nother level and saying, we want to be as good, if not even better, than the best experiences people have in the private sector. And one of the keys to doing that is what we talk about, digital public infrastructure, where you have a series of, think of them as almost like building blocks of payment systems and identity systems and data systems, and you're putting those blocks together, connecting them with API that to enable so much of this to happen behind the scenes in government, so citizens don't have to navigate all sorts of different government websites and understand all that. They just want to get what they need at that time. This has been a dream. Those of us that have been working on digital government have had for over 2 decades right now, and we are finally seeing that come to fruition in countries all over the world. And what I'll point out, Billy, we found in this report was that a lot of leapfrogging is occurring. I mean, who would have guessed 15 years ago that one of the leading digital government projects in the world would be in India, where over 1.6 billion people now have a digital identification through their Aadhaar initiative. And they've been able to just dramatically increase financial inclusion, with hundreds of millions of people now have access to bank accounts that did not have them before. And the building block for so much of this was a government as a platform kind of initiative around digital identity, and then the commercial sector and over 1,700 federal and state government agencies then built off of that. So the idea is you build it once and you use it many times, and it's that connection between reducing the silos within government and also the silos between government and the commercial sector to provide best-in-class, world-class customer experience.
It would be incredible to see something like that here stateside. So we'll keep an eye out to see any developments there. But, you know, Bill, one last question. The 2024 report is out. What comes next? Prepping for 2025, circulating this report. What are you going to focus on in the next few months?
We are, you know, we release a couple studies each month, and we're looking at everything from looking at the green energy transition and what cities and states are doing right now to propel that transition. It's really, really interesting, exciting, and involves all kinds of public-private partnerships. We're looking at something like, what is the future of census in this digital world that we're looking at? And how does census, as an example, as an agency, radically change based on all these digital opportunities? So there's really no shortage of areas we're looking at. We'll continue, of course, to look at digital government and public health and other areas, and just follow us. And all these things are on our website, free of charge and available to the public.
Awesome. We'll make sure to drop a link in the show notes. But Bill, pleasure chatting with you. The report was great. Really appreciate your time today. And hopefully we'll look forward to seeing what comes in the 2025 report.
Great. Thank you so much, Billy.
You can learn more about digital transformation at thedailyscooppodcast.com. The Daily Scoop podcast is available on all the podcast platforms. If you've already rated the podcast on your platform of choice, thanks so much. High ratings and good reviews of the show help more people to find it. The Daily Scoop podcast is a production of the Scoop News Group in Washington, D.C. Adam Butler and Carlin Fisher help put the show together, and the entire Scoop News Group team contributes. We'll be back on Thursday with a brand new episode. Until then, I'm your host, Billy Mitchell. Thanks so much for listening.